Welcome back to Brutally Honest with me, Jermaine Pennant. And if this is your first time, then welcome. Thank you for joining. And today's episode, I speak with Tony Brooks. He is a leadership psychologist that deals with negative self-talk, imposter syndrome, and also the defensive mindset that can block your potential growth, and which I know I've certainly fell foul to. So, further ado, let me introduce Tony Brooks. Tony Brooks, the leadership psychologist, thank you for coming on. I've been trying to get you on for the past couple of weeks, but we've had to cancel a few times, but it's finally happened now. So thank you. Thank you for joining me on Brutally Honest.
It's a pleasure to be here, Jermaine, and good to meet you.
Yeah, you too. Well, we just had a brief conversation, and you live in Notts for many years.
Yeah, I've been in Notts about 25 years now. I used to live in Wolverhampton because I know you've played in both towns as a footballer, haven't you?
Yes. I don't think there's a town out there that I've not played in.
I've seen it. Yeah, I've seen your history. It's I've been around a few places, but.
So talk us about what you do and what Tony Brooks, the leadership psychologist, is. What it's about, really.
Yeah, I was at a company called Experian for 10 years. People might know them because they were credit checkers. And so I was a manager there, but then I set up my own business 15 years ago, and it's changed shape a lot over the years, Jermaine. And I've studied psychology a lot, taught psychology for the Open University. And I guess I got fascinated with what makes us tick, because I'd had problems myself. I was diagnosed with depression in 2007. And I guess I've always been fascinated, first and foremost, to understand what makes me tick more so that I can handle that. And then my journey has been that I work primarily with business leaders, business owners these days. And I help them with the business side of things, strategy. But for me, a massive part of it is people's thinking, and a lot of the things that hijack people is their thinking, really. So I often say to leaders, you can have the greatest strategy in the world and greatest businesses, but if your thinking isn't on side, if you've got destructive thinking, then that can trip you up every time. And I know it from my own experiences, really. I've had a couple of difficult periods over the last probably 20 years, but I think, I'm sure this, you know, while you're doing it, Jermaine, it's great you're doing this, and no doubt for yourself, but obviously doing it to help other people as well. But it's really good to become more aware, isn't it, of how we can get hijacked and tripped up by our thinking, so we can at least attempt to do more about it, really.
Yeah, I think the brain is our powerfulest tool that we've got. And if you're in the wrong mindset, you're utilizing it in the wrong way. Can you, obviously you're the expert, and can you share us about how important and the impacts that the mindset, being in a good mindset, what it means to have?
Yeah, I think that the area I've got really interested in over the last couple of years is our survival instinct. And I know when I was listening to a couple of your podcast episodes, Jermaine, at a very young age, you actually really did have some, you know, big survival issues, you know, getting yourself to school on your own at 8 and all those kind of things. But a lot of the time in modern life, our survival thinking and survival instinct can take over when actually the situation isn't that serious. So we really greatly exaggerate threats and problems, and we imagine things that aren't really there, you know, in our own, we create problems in our mind. And I think that's where it becomes challenging, because our minds can literally be our worst enemies at times. And people get sucked into, I mean, the thing is, we're thinking beings. So we're thinking all the time and talking to ourselves. And we allegedly have something like this incredible list, but we allegedly have about 40, 50,000 thoughts a day because we're thinking all the time. But often it's doubtful, negative, destructive. And the trouble is, we get sucked into our own thinking rather than make better choices with the way that we're thinking as well. And I think that's where, for me, that's where the big problems can lie, because I think that's where you do start to get sucked down past where you can lead into more serious mental health issues, because you don't have the ability to challenge it and make better choices. And my heart goes out to people, you know, that actually go down those sort of paths and end up with serious mental health issues, because often there's a better way if they can find ways to help with their own thinking.
What you're saying makes absolute sense, because funny enough, is when I started this podcast, it was all on my own. You know, Jess helped me out with certain things. And, you know, when I got through a few episodes, I was thinking, you know, the next one, oh, people ain't going to listen. People are not going to like it. Then that motivation of trying to, you know, kickstart or find the next guest was diminishing slowly, because I was thinking, well, no one's going to listen to it, so why am I going to do it? No one's going to like it. I'm going to get bad reviews. I'm going to feel stupid. And I don't really want to do it, where it just goes so that how you think can stop you from achieving just because you've got negative thoughts.
Without a shadow of a doubt. And I think the human condition that most of us battle with is not being good enough. And there's lots of reasons why that might be the case. It may well be from our experiences, our formative years. But also, to be honest, Jermaine, it's the fact that, as I say, we're survival orientated. So we're looking for potential problems and threats. And often we turn that inwards. So we're looking for gaps in our own abilities, flaws in us, weaknesses, because that's what we fear is going to make us vulnerable. So we end up in this place where often we're trying to prove to ourselves that we're good enough, and we feel like we've got to go out and prove to the world that we are. And so all that doubt comes in, whether it's, I mean, for you, for example, I imagine it must have been an incredible journey, being moving at the age of 15 to, it was Arsenal, wasn't it, where you had the big move. And what must be going on, because you had an incredible level of ability, but what must have been going on inside of you psychologically? And I think that's, well, when we get put in situations, I mean, I run a podcast series as well, you're running one. And as you say, you start to doubt yourself, and we start to doubt ourselves way too quickly often. And that, I think that can block us really, because for you, for example, that could ultimately mean you don't continue with your podcast series, where actually you're on a journey where you're learning and growing and doing something that's going to be of great value to a lot of people. And it's a great shame, really, that we get tripped up by that, I think.
Yeah, 100%, because it's something that's taking me out of my comfort zone. This is not something I specialize in or I'm great in. It's just something that I thought, well, you know, what can I give back? And I think you can easily get trapped in going out of that comfort zone, because you're scared of either the repercussions or the feedback, or just being out of that zone. And again, that's all about your mind and your thinking and your thoughts.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a really great book called Mindset by psychologist Carol Dweck. But what I was touching on that was, we all have a bit of an internal battle between what's called a fixed mindset and a growth mindset. And the problem with a fixed mindset is we are, as you say, fearful of stepping out of our comfort zones, because we may make mistakes, we may hit challenges, we may get negative feedback from people or critical feedback. And so that the trouble is that can hold us back then, rather than I believe that it's better to think, I'm a good person, I'm trying to do my best, but I'm growing all the time and I want to become better and better at what I am, whether that's in sport, in business, as a podcast host, whatever it is. So rather than, and I think we do, rather than beat ourselves up all the time because of, you know, what we're not doing or we think we're not capable of, I think it's much better to come at life from a place of celebrating what we've done so far and what we're good at and what we're attempting to do and the good intentions of what we're attempting to do. And I think for you and I both, and I know Jess has got a podcast series as well, obviously, it is pushing forwards with that belief rather than holding ourselves back.
Yeah, no, 100%. Obviously, you specialize in with companies and your CEOs, executives, and businesses. You know, we probably may have a lot of business people who are listening. What do they come to you for in what scenarios? And your advice you usually give?
Yeah, well, I think there are, I mean, there's some classic business issues. Like they don't feel they've got clear direction where they're going. They're not growing as well as they might be. But on the other side as well, for business leaders, it can be, for example, many business owners have climbed to or built up a company and they may never have had any leadership development or leadership training at all. And so a phrase, although it's been around since the 70s, you probably heard of it recently a lot as well, but people talk about imposter syndrome. So people who are business owners or people who've stepped up and been promoted into senior positions, they doubt themselves, they don't have the confidence. And they start to feel they're potentially a fraud and they'll be found out because they're not good enough. So I think a lot of the time that when I'm working with people, it can be issues around confidence, self-esteem, stress, overwhelm. You know, people get overwhelmed with things as well. And then I say a lot of it, I think, for me, is just some basics to sometimes, Jermaine. For 9 years, I've been capturing at least five good things about the day every day, because I'm basically attempting to rewire my brain to see the good stuff that's happening rather than all the stuff that I haven't done or I've done wrong. And I encourage business people to celebrate the good stuff on the journey much more than getting hung up in what hasn't gone right, what they haven't done so far and whatever. I think that's a critical thing, really, to be honest. And then I think it is about one of the most important lessons I've learned is when you are starting to get thinking that's not particularly helpful, just become aware really quickly, almost find a little bit of space to observe it. And it's almost like being your best coach then. And I always say to people, start having conversations and coaching yourself in a way that you would your best friend. Because often the most harsh conversations we have are with ourselves. It's a sad fact of life. And so I would say to people, whether they're business people or not really, start looking at the conversations you're having with yourself and know that you don't. You can choose a different path and you can choose better conversations and you can choose better thinking. But a lot of the power, to be honest, comes initially from starting to become more aware of what's going on with you and what and why you might be thinking in particular ways. And because we as a species, allegedly animals can't do this, but we can observe our own thinking. We can find that little bit of space and start actually observing what's going on. You can start, you do it yourself, you find you're going down a path with your thinking, then you just pause for a minute and go, wow, that was an interesting, where I was going there with my thinking. But often we just get sucked along with it and we can spiral downwards with it. So I think finding more space and like almost a consciousness to sit above our own thinking and start to realize we've got some power, more power over that. We can choose different ways of thinking and different ways of seeing things as well.
But that's what you're saying. You speak to the business, but it goes for all aspects of life. And no matter what you're doing, for example, me with this podcast, I'm still learning. I'm still, very negative about certain episodes, thinking, oh, I could have done this better, but I'm looking at it as a learning curve and think, okay, I know what to do next better. Where before I would have been shy to go on to the next episode thinking, oh, I can't do this, look how crappy it sounds, rather than going, okay, I know I can do better, or I can maybe approach it this way, or maybe ask these questions. And obviously you teach this for business, but I think in all aspects of life, it's a good thing to take on board. And don't be too hard on yourself. Yes, you can be your worst critic, but also take it in as a learning curve to better yourself.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think see your life as a journey of growth and learning rather than, I think a lot of people come at life and things they're doing from almost a perspective of feeling like they've got to be perfect. And you won't be, not in anything, not even the top level sports people are perfect. And they're probably pretty harsh on each other as well. But I think the way you're flipping things, Jermaine, is a really good place to be because it is bringing in that growth mindset I was talking about earlier. It's you will get better and better. I mean, I've done 48 episodes on my podcast. And if I went back and listened to all 48, I'd find faults and problems in all of them. But I enjoy it. I'll get to the place as well where I think I'm going to enjoy doing it. People will get value, even if I make the odd mistake here and there and whatever. But if people seem to be getting value from it, then keep going on. As you say, reflect, grow, improve all the time, really. And that's a good adage for any aspect of life, isn't it? And I mean, also, I think all of this stuff comes into relationships. It comes into being a parent. I know you're a parent. I've got a daughter who's 24. I think you've got a son who's about 12, have you, Joanne?
Yeah.
So I think even, you know, as a parent as well, none of us are perfect at any of this. We're not the perfect husband, wife, partner. But attempting to improve all the time and become better, I've definitely always looked to do that as a father. I'll never be a perfect father, but it's always learning, reflecting on how I'm doing and trying to get better, really.
Yeah, 100%. Like you said, you know, the top athletes in the world, and you never be perfect at everything or every time. You can get close as possible and work hard. But, you know, when that perfect isn't there, you should never knock yourself. And obviously speaking to therapists myself and having issues from my childhood and trauma, I'd only recently be able to speak about it and taking a lot of stress off my shoulders, which has helped massively. You know, I'm going to have faults, but it's all about just keep digging deep and always believing in yourself, even in them dark times, even when things are going really, really, really bad. There's always an out, there's always a help, there's always an options. And again, I think it's the mindset. If you get stuck in a place where you're down in the dumps, and it's like when you want a car, you want to buy a Range Rover, and all of a sudden you keep seeing Range Rovers, you keep seeing that, you know, you're driving, oh, I see a Range Rover again, and where you probably missed them 20 times before you ever thought of a Range Rover. But it's about mindset. So if you're thinking negative, you're going to come across negative, you're going to see negativity on your phone, you're going to bump into negativity. And it's only recently I've actually understood that, how powerful the mind actually is.
Yeah, it's incredible. And the thing is, and you were talking about it earlier, the brain's an organ. And in the field of psychology, neuroscience has become sort of stronger and stronger over the years. And just in simple terms, the most optimistic view of the human brain and the human mind is you can rewire your brain physically. So if you do certain things habitually, it starts to change the wiring in your brain. And so, for example, I think that if you make efforts to be habitually a more optimistic person in your behavior, you know, when I was talking earlier about putting five good things about the day down every day, it starts to actually shift the way you see the world, because a lot of the time we can be overly pessimistic. But I think that the great thing that we should all take heart from is, even through late life, you can still keep working on things psychologically, but which is actually physically changing the wiring inside your brain as well, the neurology of your brain, which is amazing. I think it used to be thought years ago that the brain was fixed after a short period, you know, after 7-8 years or whatever, for a short period of time. But neuroscience these days says that you can keep rewiring your brain. So for me, then, it's about getting better habits for yourself, better thinking habits, and approaching life in a different way as well. And then it can become more firmly rooted. It just takes effort.
Yeah, well, that makes perfect sense. It's patterns.
Yeah.
Our brain obviously just, you know, gets used to patterns and doing the same, you know, the same routines. And, you know, when I was making my mistakes throughout my career and life, it would be, I'd get in the same patterns. When I get to a certain emotional point, I would, you know, press that self-destruct button, and it would just reroute itself. I'll get myself out of that, and then I'll get to that point again, and it'll keep going over and over again. And once I spoke about the issue at heart, that's when I broke that pattern.
Yeah.
And now I learn, now when I'm feeling emotional, I speak.
Yeah.
Me keeping it in, which I did, was a pattern, you know, led to destruction.
Yeah. And I've heard you talked about some of the self-sabotage over the years in relationships and such like. And as you say, you can get into a groove that's the way that you behave. And often it's, there's a couple of things just listening to you there. I think it's actually reaching out to somebody else to talk about things, isn't it? And somebody who may be able to help. And I think men are especially not great at that times. We feel like we've got to fix things ourselves. And I think it's really good for men, particularly with the growth in mental health issues now, to speak up, whether that's to a friend or whatever, or somebody who they feel might be an expert, a counsellor or something, but get some help. Because again, for men as well, I think the men are battling against this, you know, preconceived issue or image that we've got to be strong, we can't be emotional, we can't show weakness, can't show vulnerability. But that's often really destructive and can create some enormous problems.
Yeah, 100%. I vouch for everything you just said there, because throughout my career, obviously, I used to play up to, well, like, I was always the joker, but it come to a point where, you know, rather letting them know when I was depressed, which I didn't know at the time, because, you know, back then I just thought, well, like, what's wrong with me? I was trying to search. I remember having a conversation with my agent. I was playing for Liverpool at the time. I had a lovely, lovely place, swimming pool, tennis court, everything that I've ever dreamed of and, you know, wanted, and, you know, from where I came from was, you know, a dream come true, playing for my boy, your team as well. And I had a phone conversation with my agent, and I went, I'm not happy. And I couldn't put my finger on it. And I said, I've got, you know, I'm actually not happy. But at that time, I didn't understand mental health. I didn't understand, you know, if someone had told me, you know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, someone's got mental health, I'd have thought they need to go in a loony bin. Or if I said someone's depressed, is that they're a zombie? I really didn't understand it. And obviously now I've understood that at that point in my career, even though I had everything, I was depressed. And I used to go into the training and I would walk around like I was happy as Larry. I would, you know, smile on my face, joker, Jack the lad. But that was a facade. And obviously never speaking to anyone and saying, I feel down and not wanting to meet my friends a lot, or wanting to just go out on the weekend and get pissed with the boys to numb any pain. If I'd have really known about mental health then, I would have obviously, and not been embarrassed about, I feel like this, or maybe I'm depressed, it would have worked probably wonders for me and done a lot more for my career and me as a person.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm not mad keen on the phrase mental health, because it has got a bit of stigma. It's mind health, really. Yeah. You know, it's how we deal with things from a mind perspective. But I don't know about you, Jermaine. When I was diagnosed with depression in 2007, the thing that surprised me was, I thought, well, I've always sort of had this pattern of thinking, really. I thought it was normal to, I guess, be a little bit down and a bit negative about life. And it was almost a bit of a wake-up call that said, hang on a minute, the way I've been for the last, whatever it was, 40-odd years, is not actually normal. It doesn't have to be like that. It's not normal. But I think I'd pretty much accepted it, probably, that was a pattern of thinking that I could get into. Whereas from 2007 onwards, I've started to realise, hang on a minute, I can choose, I need to choose something different here. I need to choose a different way of seeing a situation or seeing myself. And I think it's a fascinating journey. As you say as well, once you start opening up then and talking about things, it just starts to open up your world a bit more, doesn't it? Rather than you must have been, as you say, fronting things, but there must have been all sorts going on behind the scenes that you felt you couldn't share with anybody. And and again, for you to be thrown into the limelight at such a young age as well, without, I don't know whether football and sport have brought psychology in more now to help people, but I don't know whether in football, you'd probably be able to educate me, whether in football they provide more sort of counselling and psychological support, particularly to young players when they're sort of going into the spotlight.
I think they there is more now, for sure. Back then it was get yourself training, off your pop, see you tomorrow. But now there's people in place at the training grounds and who players can can talk to, which is doesn't go anywhere else apart from, you know, it doesn't go back to the manager, which probably back then was something that we was probably scared of, because if we was going with issues, the manager might go, right, I'm not going to play you this week because your head's not in the right place. So that was another thing you was fighting. But I think there's, like I said, there's more awareness, and I'm sure coaches and managers are understanding now, and they do take that into account. But just going back with one of the things, with my issue as well was, I'm not denying I've not been shy about having issues with my mother. She not being around and how that impacted me. And I can remember having conversations throughout my teens, early teens, you know, early adult life. And now, well, not now, because I've spoke about it, but lying about it, going, she was like, oh, so where's your mum live? I go, yeah, my mum lives in Nottingham. Yeah, she's fine. Where I wouldn't know that, because I've not spoke to her for about 20 years. But I was embarrassed to say, you know, I've got no mother, because I didn't want to give that, you know, that vision of myself. And again, having to bear that for a lot, where I said talking is key, and I always keep saying it, and I think I'll continue to say it.
Yeah, and I think it's that fear of being judged, isn't it, Jermaine? Yeah. In all sorts of ways, really. And that's where I go back to that thing about most of us battle. I'm not saying we're battling with it 24/7, but most of us battle with a feeling of not being good enough. We go through situations where we start to question ourselves and doubt ourselves whether we're good enough. And so if anybody is going to judge us, we're fearful of that as well, because that will expose our own vulnerability of not feeling good enough. So I think it's really tough sometimes to, you know, bare your soul and be honest about certain things in life where you think, actually, somebody could well judge me here. So we front it. And then it's a shame, because everybody potentially is going through, not everybody, but a lot of people are going through life fronting it and not really giving people a true representation of who they are and where they've come from for fear of being judged, which, again, is a bit tragic. But good for you that you've been able to open up, and it sounds like that's been helpful for you as well, Jermaine.
Yeah, 100%, for sure. And I'll continue to do that, because I know it does take a lot of burden and stress and you know, whatever you're going through, any issues, it does help. And I want to touch on when you said you was depressed, how you'd always have a negative look on life. And it's funny you say that, because I do that sometimes now. Not all the time, but, you know, it's funny. I had an interview with a show a month ago, and obviously was all excited about it, done a Zoom call. And then I was with Jess, and I was going, a week later, I've not heard anything. And I was like, I'm not going to get it. Nah, they're not going to like me. They're not going to want me. You know, and she was saying, think positive. You've got all the attributes that would be great for this show. And I'm like, yeah, but you know, there's, you know, my past this, and I was making excuses for not getting it. But obviously she stayed positive, but I was just touching on how you were saying, looking on life and being depressed and saying it's always looking on the bad side, the negative side. It's easily done, because I'm still doing it now. And when speaking to Jess, what actually got me out of it, where I thought, okay, I'll think positive.
Yeah, and I think it's sometimes not being too hard on yourself, because we'll always do it. I mean, I still find myself going down negative paths with my thinking at times. Where I've got much better is pulling myself out of it and saying, oh, hang on a minute, you can look at this differently, rather than just getting, you know, getting sucked down with it. And I think it's important, because, for example, with you, and you were talking about your past and some of the issues in your past, that could potentially put you on the back foot, as it can with a lot of people. But why not front foot it? You know, you are the person you are now because of all of these experiences, and get on the front foot, really, because I think people pick up on your energy, don't they? So whatever situation it is, whether it's being interviewed for a job or having an opportunity like you were talking about, I think your energy can come across with people. So if you're internally on the back foot because you're worried about whatever it might be, it can I think people can pick that up. So better to get on the front foot. Again, it's like, I've got the best of intentions, I'm a good person, I'm not perfect, And come at it from that angle, really, rather than start to do all that self-analysis and doubt and questioning it yourself.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that's the best way to look at it and to attack it is, like I said, we're not perfect. No one's perfect. We've all made mistakes. We've all made the wrong decisions. We've all done something that we may regret. But it's how you then move on from that, how you then use that as an advantage, at your advantage, and go, right, I know the rights, the wrongs, which path I want, which path I don't want, and I'm going to steer in this way. Rather than thinking, you know, that's going to hold me back. No, you've done that wrong, but you want to make amends.
Yeah.
Right. You want to be this person. So you can use that as a tool, you know.
Yeah. I mean, what's one of the biggest mistakes or things that can go wrong in our life? Look at how many people get divorced. Again, so you can either take divorce as something that, again, you feel like I'm not going to get married again because it didn't work out and I'm not right for marriage and whatever, you know, I can't be a good husband. Or you go away from it and reflect on, I guess, what you might want differently from a relationship, but also how you want to be different in a relationship. And then you go forwards. And divorce rates are hugely high these days, but that's one of the probably the most common, whatever you want to call it, a failing mistake, something that's gone wrong for people. That's got to be one of the most common things in anybody's life. But should that block you from ever having another relationship or being, you know, getting married again? No, it shouldn't it, but it should be something you learn from. I think that's the important thing, isn't it?
It makes perfectly sense. Like you get a divorce and you don't say, right, I'm never getting a relationship again. You know, obviously you battle through that and then you'll end up meeting someone who's right for you. It's again, all learning curve. You whatever mistakes or you and your partner made at that time that didn't work out, you don't then sit back, well, I messed up with that. I should never be in a relationship ever again.
Yeah.
At some point in life, you will get a new relationship and you will do the rights, you know, in this relationship that you've done the wrongs in the past. So,
well, you'll do your best, won't you?
Yeah, you do your best. I think you can do it. We're never perfect, you know. These guys are not perfect.
Yeah, speaking of someone who's been divorced and just got married again this year, then I know, again, I'm not the perfect husband, but I attempt to be the best husband I can be most of the time. And and that's, I think that's what it is, really, in life. It's it is about accepting we're all flawed. None of us are perfect in any aspect of our life. We're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to do the wrong things at times. But do you want to be, go back to it again. When I coach people, and one of the interesting things about having a confidential relationship is people open up with me probably more than they do with anybody else, really. And I become aware that people have really destructive relationships with themselves at times, really hard, tough relationships with themselves. And I go back to it again, Jermaine. I think a lot of us would benefit from saying, actually, I want to be my own best friend and I want to be kind to myself. And why not, really, rather than beating yourself up all the time, like a lot of people do, why not actually think, I mean the best, really. I've got the best of intentions. I'm a good person. And I'm going to be my best friend and I'm going to talk to myself like that, really, rather than do it in a harsh way.
Yeah. So for our listeners, is there any, you know, tips, any ways, obviously, to get yourself in have a good mindset if things, you know, are looking doom and gloom, or, you know, you can't get off the couch or you don't want to go to the gym and you're just lethargic and you've got no energy, you've got no this about you. Is there tactics, not tactics, but any techniques you can use mindset wise?
Yeah, remember again though, I'll share a couple of things, but remember again that the brain's an organ, and one of the most important things I've learned over the years, Jermaine, is exercise, for example, is not just important to the body, but important to the brain as an organ as well. So I'm a fairly regular swimmer and I do exercise. And if I think we'll all find this, if you find yourself starting to eat more junk food, not exercising, not sleeping well, you won't only feel the physical issues around that, you'll find your psychology will shift as well. So I think sometimes just start with the basics, get into some good habits, look after yourself, get some good sleep, make sure you're hydrated, eat well, try not to drink too much. That's going to be my failing at times. All of the things that are good for the body are good for the mind from a sort of biological perspective. But then when it comes to thinking, I think you've got to be careful about what you feed your mind as well. So I, for the most part, do my best to disconnect from the news. I'll check in occasionally, both to find out what the significant bits on. But the news is, newspapers are unrelentingly miserable. And often, particularly with newspapers, they don't speak the truth anyway. And so you're getting a representation of life which starts to feed in. And like, for example, now we've got a lot of things. We've had a hell of a lot of things going on, haven't we? Brexit, pandemic, a war, cost of living crisis. Yeah. And I'm not saying that all of these things aren't issues, but if you watch the news two or three times a day, you're feeding your brain in a way and your mind in a way that's not healthy, really. So I'd say to people, be careful. And social media is another one. I mean, I go on social media to a degree, and I'm no doubt for people like yourself, social media is a really important tool. It is for me in business, to be fair. But we need to be careful about social media as well, because that can feed us things. And we do a lot of comparing with other people and all of those kind of things go on. But I think the key thing I would say to people who are listening to this is that thing I've said earlier. Know that you can make better choices with the way you are seeing your world and yourself, so your perspective of things. So almost immediately, if you're feeling in a particular way, or you start to have doubtful or negative thoughts about a situation or whatever, then do your best to start to shift it and think of it in another way. It could be, for example, I go out talking at events, and like I speak at events on mindset psychology. If you spot somebody in the audience yawning, your initial response might be, oh my god, I'm boring. Or you could quickly think, oh, it's after lunch, they're probably a bit tired after lunch, and nobody else is yawning. So do those things where you coach yourself better and intervene with a pattern of thinking, because often there's a more helpful perspective. And at the end of the day, actually, Jermaine, it may well be that neither perspective we can be sure is right or wrong. So it could be that person in the audience is bored, yeah. Or they could be tired, but it's a much more helpful perspective for me to quickly shift my thinking and say, oh, they're probably just had a bad night's sleep, tired, or they had a big lunch and they're a bit, you know, a bit fatigued. And so I think everybody should know they've got much more choice in the way they see the world and see themselves and the way that they think than they probably believe they have.
Yeah.
And it is about making better choices with that.
Yeah. I just want to touch back on, you know, you said the really easy kind of solution is the basics, when exercising and eating and sleeping and whatnot. And that is really, really true, because I've, you know, come accustomed to that. I usually play golf once a week, probably go to the range twice a week, and try and fit in a gym, you know, twice if I've not got no work. If I've got no work for, like, you know, a week or 2 weeks, and I don't do none of those things, and I'm just at home and pop into the shops and not really doing anything, I find myself towards the end, I start getting a bit cranky, a bit moody. And, you know, that's what could lead to silly decisions that I wouldn't make if I'm gone to the range, come back in, let off some steam or the gym or whatnot. So anyone's in a little situation, I think, like I said, we've got you can have the basics, just like I said, gym or exercise that can stimulate the brain.
Yeah, and feed your brain with, I mean, rather than watch the news or read a newspaper, listen to your podcast, Jermaine. Yeah. Get people to listen to your podcast, yeah. or something else.
That. Listen to the podcast, guys.
But it's true. It's it feeds yourself with something more stimulating, interesting, helpful than whether, you know, watching a a miserable soap opera or the news or reading the newspaper. So I think it's about making a lot better conscious choices. We are creatures of habit. We're creatures of habit in the way we behave, but also the way we think to a degree as well. You were talking about that a while ago, about that pattern of thinking, about getting into self-sabotage. And so we start to become more conscious of our habits, whether it's behavior, going to the gym, playing golf, going for a swim in my case, or whatever, or it's noticing the way you think as well and starting to say, no, hang on, I don't need to think like that. And as I was saying earlier, start to intercept your own thinking and your self-talk and think, I'm going to be kinder to myself. I'm understanding maybe why I'm thinking like that, but I don't need to think like that. It's not helpful. And let me shift my thinking. And often your partner or somebody close to you can help you with that. You were talking about Jess helping you shift your perspective on things. So sometimes it's good to share things as well with people, because people, if you can't do it so easily yourself, people who are close to you will help you look at it in a situation in a different light as well. So definitely don't bottle things up. And if people are on their own more, living on their own more, reach out and connect with people and just say, I'm having a bit of a bad couple of days. And often your friends, people close to you, will be prepared to listen to you and say, hey, have you thought about seeing it differently or looking at it this way or whatever? Because we can all get a little bit entrenched, can't we, in our way of seeing the world and our thinking. And sometimes it does need somebody else to help us do that. But attempt to do it yourself as well, first and foremost. But reach out if you need somebody just to, as a bit of a sounding board or to help you shift your way of seeing things.
Yeah, and I think the thing is, we have all these suggestions that you said at our disposal. You know, you don't need to see a therapist or a psychologist. We have these basic tools at our disposal to use in any shape, way, or form. And touching on with the news and the press and the media and the papers and, like I said, what's going on with what went on with COVID and Brexit and Boris and the wars. Yep. You know, it's a lot of there's not ever goodness. It's all fear. It's all, you know, negative and to try and control, which, you know, if you're not in the right frame of mind, can have also a negative impact. So, you know, they don't spread love and joy and this is great and this is going to be fantastic. They don't spread that, you know, that's the hush-hush. It's all, you know, doom and gloom and we've got to be careful of this and that's happened and, you know, put the fear in God of some people and keep people looking, well, what's next?
Yeah, well, fear sells, doesn't it? Unfortunately, like I said earlier, a lot of our thinking is quite basic and survival orientated, and the press know that, so they will tap into it all of the time. When I started my business in 2007, we went into a recession fairly quickly after that. It's quite a big recession of sort of 2008 2009, but it was interesting looking at the newspapers then, because, and they'll do it again this time, every day it was so almost, you know, it's an even worse recession because of this and because of that, and they were feeding it, and that's the problem. You can get sucked into that, and then, as you were touching on, you start to make worse decisions because you make fear-based decisions rather than things that are more rational and more helpful for yourself. And I think the news and the media can be really irresponsible with it myself.
Obviously they, like I said, you know, news sells and they're a business and that's all they really care about. Tony, thank you very much. It's been absolutely amazing having you on. Great insight, not only for the listeners, but for me, myself as well. I've took really a lot into this. And sorry it took so long to get you on, but we got there in the end. It's been a pleasure.
Hey, it's no problem at all, Jermaine. It's been great talking to you as well. And great what you're doing. I mean, keep pushing through any of those moments of doubt and those comfort zone issues and keep doing this, because I think a lot of people will relate to you. Maybe not exactly with the experiences you've had, but they may have had similar problems over the years. And if you can help a few people through this, then it's got to be worthwhile, hasn't it?
Yeah, 100%. If I can help one person, if I help one person, then I've done something good for the day, or I'm doing something good for the podcast. That's the aim, is learn from my my path and whatever I can, you know, give advice on and help with this podcast, that's what it's here for. But thank you for sharing as your expertise and insight as well.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Jermaine.
Good to okay, speak. Absolutely nice meeting. Cheers. Cheers, Tony.
Cheers, Jermaine.
Well, that's all from me from this week. That's the end of the show. Thank you to Tony Brooks for sharing his knowledge and the insights. And if there is anybody out there dealing with, you know, the topics that we spoke about, imposter syndrome, negative self, self-talk, and you are going through these particular things and, you know, stopping your path or your potential, I sincerely really do hope that this is help, or maybe can help in some way, shape or form. So from me, for now, take care.